In the hot one, this is 840 KBEG, North Las Vegas. It's time now for the Lou Epton Show. Brought to you by Lou Epton Enterprises. It's time not to just talk about it, but do something. It's time to get mad. The views expressed are those of the moderator, the guests, and the callers. They do not necessarily represent the views of the station, the advertisers, or their agencies. And now, here's Lou Epton.
From Las Vegas, Nevada, hello everyone. Well, what do you think? What happened in Arizona today? I'd be curious. And we're going to invite you to call and give us those thoughts as we go through this evening's program. And let's give these numbers out right at the onset. If you're in Las Vegas, you can reach the Lou Epton Show locally at 262-KVEG. That's 5834. If you're anywhere else from Canada to Mexico, it's toll-free at 1-800-265-9644. They say lightning doesn't strike twice in the same place. Do you believe this? We're hopeful. We do have a guest tonight, hopefully Jordan Maxwell, but thus far, he hasn't called in. And speaking of people that haven't called in, if you were with us last night, you remember we were going to have Larry Nichols. Well, I talked to Larry today. There was a bit of confusion. Whoever is to blame, we're all to blame, and I'll apologize for myself, but Larry will be with us come Friday evening, and you can believe it. We've got his word on that. So Larry Nichols will be here Friday evening on the program. Tonight, hopefully, well, maybe Jordan will get through. Let's see what happens. In the meantime, we're going to open our phones, and if nothing else happens, why, we'll get to that article we started last night. Remember? It was called Navigating Whitewater. Hey, that problem hasn't gone away, and it's only going to hit more and more pages of your major press as we move along this year. Right now, we'll do a quick timeout. We'll come back and we'll see what's happening. Stay with us, Lou Epton and you, and we'll be back right after this. All right, and we are back. And again, let me give these numbers out real quick. In Las Vegas, you can reach us locally at 262-KVEG. That's 5834. Anywhere else, Canada to Mexico, we're toll-free at 1-800-265-9644. And isn't it wonderful what $4 million can do in one state? Let's take a call or two. What do you say? We've got Jack here in Vegas. Jack, good evening. You're on the air.
How you doing, Lou?
Pretty good.
We were listening to CNN tonight and caught a lot of Buchanan's speech down in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a really super speech. And in the background, commentating on that after his speech was over, they said that Dole had been down there and gave his speech, and he only had like 150-some-odd backers. And Forbes was down there and only had about 450-some-odd backers.
Uh-huh.
And when Buchanan came in, he had the fire department's capacity for the building, which was 3,500, and there was another 3,500 in the parking lot. Now, can you tell me how idiotic people can be to think that Forbes will be giving a victory speech when only 90 or 48% of the precincts have reported in Arizona?
That's an interesting point, and I thank you for that. Yeah, that's a damn good point. But I'll tell you this. If they want Clinton reelected, then the Republicans ought to nominate Forbes, because that's a guaranteed Clinton win.
Well, that's for sure, because all he can talk about is his flat tax.
That's
it. I mean, you never hear him debate or give a speech on anything other than that.
Okay, Jack, our guest has made it through the lines, and I'm going to thank you, and we're going to have to move because I want to get Jordan on the air.
Okay, thanks a lot, Lou.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
You know, they say that politics and religion don't mix. At least they're not supposed to. But this young man has a different attitude. Let's welcome to the airwaves this evening, Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, you're late, you rascal.
Yes, you're right, but at least I'm here.
And I'm grateful for it.
Thanks, Lou.
Well, it's just good to have you with us. It's been too doggone long since you and I have had a chance to talk. What do you say we start out with some of the ancient symbols and occult emblems and how they're visible everywhere we look today?
Yes, that is a remarkable subject that has caught my attention from the earliest, like 7 or 8 years old, hearing my parents talk about such things, I should tell the audience that the way I got into the study of ancient symbols and cultic symbols was my mother had an uncle who worked in the Vatican Secretary of State's office.
Uh-huh.
And every few years he would come back to this country to visit with the family. And I had my mother also had two uncles that were federal judges. And so they would come over when the old man would come back from the Vatican, and I had a couple of Catholic priests in my family, and my great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida. And so I had a lot of politics and religion in the family, and I grew up listening to this kind of conversation behind the scenes. And I used to even ask my uncle, the federal judges, that when they would talk about the apparatus and the system which is in place in this country, and I would ask him, well, why can't you do something about it? I mean, you're a federal judge, and you have a position. Why can't you do something? And I was always given to understand that nobody does anything. Everyone knows what they can do and what they can't do, and everyone goes along to get along.
Yeah.
And so I decided at a ripe old age of about 17 to leave home and to go off on my own and dedicate my life to try to get to the bottom of what makes things happen, how do things happen, and why do they happen, and try and make some sort of a sense out of this lunatic world we live in.
Yeah.
And I can happily say after all of these years, I haven't even begun to scrape the surface. I mean, there's just so much more to everything you learn, there's that much more to know.
But isn't it interesting how over the decades it follows the sequence? You know, one of the great things that I'll never forget that you mentioned, because I lived and I worked in that great city called Hollywood, California. And I'm going to ask you to tell everyone, how did we name it Hollywood?
Well, the old Celtic, Northern European Celtic, Druid priest, of which, incidentally, almost all of America is dominated by the Druid priesthood of Northern Europe, and we can get into that later.
Okay.
But the ancient Druid priest of Northern Europe had a very high form of magic, and one of the symbols that come down to us today in the symbolism of the Druidic Celtic magic was the magic wand.
Oh, yes.
Like Merlin the Magician and
yeah.
All these magicians with their magic wands. Well, magic wands were always made out of Hollywood.
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 Yeah.
That's why we have a city called Hollywood. And very interesting is that one of the old books I came across at UCLA talked about the founding of the city of Hollywood. And it mentioned, and this is a long time ago, but it mentioned something to the effect that there were Druidic priests brought over here at the turn of the century when the city was being founded and laid out, and the Druidic priests laid out the city according to geomancy, or electromagnetic force fields, or grid fields on the earth. And so therefore in Hollywood, the city itself is actually laid out according to electromagnetic force fields. It's called ley lines or geomancy. And we're talking about some really heavy-duty occultism here that a lot of people are not aware of. And
I would say most people probably are
not
aware
of. Yeah, and then it's just incredible the amount of occultism that is in everything we see, not just coming out of Hollywood, but coming out of America. I mean, our government is filled with symbols and emblems, and the word itself, occult, I use that term, but I need to clarify. The word occult simply means hidden, anything which is hidden. And, of course, you know as well as I do, just about everything of any importance has been hidden.
Yes.
However, the implications of symbols, especially in the capital city of Washington, D.C., is a profound study. I'll give you an example of how magic, Celtic magic, and there's a lot of sexual magic, too, that goes on.
Okay.
And, for instance, the Washington Monument is an Egyptian obelisk in Washington, D.C. It's actually an Egyptian symbol.
Mm.
And the obelisk in Egypt represented the male phallic. And so the male phallic connects to the oval office, the female. And, of course, the waters in between are the waters of chaos out of which life comes. And once you understand that the five-pointed pentagram, which a lot of the cults and satanic cults, etc., ritual abuse victims talk about the fact that they find these five-pointed pentagrams, the five-pointed stars.
Yeah.
And we see that in a lot of movies.
But you're suggesting that the way Washington, D.C. is laid out, it didn't just happen by chance?
No, I don't think so. No, nothing happens by chance. Like, like Franklin Roosevelt said, if it happened in government, you can bet it was planned that way.
All right. Give us another, give us a couple of more that might pertain to the capital, Washington.
Well, like I said, the five-pointed pentagram, which is a five-pointed star, and if you take the five arms off of a five-pointed star, the interior of a five-pointed star is called a pentagon. And that's why the United States has a pentagon. And when you look at the from above, I have some pictures I think probably you've even seen of Washington, D.C. from above. And if you look down on the Capitol building, there's a triangle of two streets coming together at a cornerstone at the top, or a chief cornerstone, which is a triangle at the top. And that's where the Capitol building sits, right in the triangle at the top of a pyramid. You when you fly over, you can look down and see the streets triangle.
I've done it, and I know exactly what you're saying.
And so it's, and the, let's see, that was the magazine. What am I trying to say? The magazine that comes out, National Geographic, had a whole, like a six-page article on the men that laid out Washington, D.C. And it gave their names, it gave their backgrounds of the people who were the architects to laid out the, who laid out the city. And they actually went into showing how the things were laid out according to occult symbols and emblems, and especially European Freemasonry was very prominent in the symbolism in Washington, D.C.
And that's probably why the Masonic papers are in the cornerstone to this day.
Precisely.
Of the White House.
Absolutely.
Jordan, we've got to do a quick timeout.
All right.
If you've joined us late, our guest right now, the very interesting Jordan Maxwell, a preeminent researcher in the field of religious political philosophy since way back in 59. Again, our numbers, if you want to get involved in our conversation, if you're local, you simply call us at 262-KVEG. That's 5834. If you're anywhere else, from Canada to Mexico, we're toll-free at 1-800-265-9644, and we'll be back right after this. All right, and again we're back, and again our guest this evening, who joined us late, is Jordan Maxwell. Jordan, we could probably spend, what, 10 hours, 20 hours?
Well, I do 8-hour seminars.
And that's just getting started.
Absolutely.
You have been digging so deeply for so long and know so very much. And I want you to give us a couple of more examples, but we've already got people waiting with questions and or comments for you.
All right, well, let me preface my next comments by saying, when I talk about Freemasonry, I'm not bashing the good people who are Masons in this country. There are many, most of all Freemasons that I know and have been in contact with are good and decent people.
And they just don't know what goes on in the higher echelon,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. And it's the same thing, you know as well as I do, the same thing in many industries. Just because someone works for a major corporation, and if something happens and we see it in the paper where this corporation is fined for some great crime or criminal thing that they've done, that doesn't mean everybody in the company knew it and was going along with it. So I'm not in any way condemning Freemasons at all, and they have made a tremendous contribution to America and to the American freedoms. What I'm talking about is what Adam Weishaupt wrote about, and that is secret societies within fraternal orders and societies. I believe that there has been and is now in our country as well as throughout the world power groups and power cliques within government and even within the church and religions throughout the world.
Sure.
And there's a very big connection there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I can give you a classic example of the symbolism that connects. When you walk into a courtroom, you will see the judge walks out and everyone stands at attention when the judge enters the room. The same symbolism in a church. When the priest walks out, everyone stands in honor of the position of the priest, like the judge.
True.
The Catholic priest wears the black robe of the robes. The priests wear the robes, and so the judges. And in all churches, you will have most churches. You will have the altar, which is divided from the people by a fence, and have a gate in the fence, and only the priest or the high the officials in church can go past the gate onto the altar. Just as in a courtroom, you have the people sitting on each side, on one side of the gate and the fence, and only the attorney can go through to represent you. And then the ancient language, the attorneys will call logos, or the word, which means that they are the mouthpiece. They speak for you, and they go before the man who represents God. And consequently, he is looking, incidentally also, altars in churches are usually higher than the floor that the people sit on.
True.
Because the priest can then look down on the audience, and you can look up to the priest, just the same as in any courtroom. The judge sits higher, so he can look down on you, and you look up to the Lord. You look up to God, or the man who thinks he's God and who's acting like God.
Yeah.
And, of course, he represents the law, and the word law comes from the cognate word for Lord, and so he is putting himself in the position of the judge. He is the Lord who judges you. And consequently, there's a very heavy connection in occultism and symbolism in courts and churches and government buildings. And
yeah, I was speaking government. A lot of people anymore watch C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it we see when the Congress meets?
Absolutely. That room where the President of the United States gives his State of the Union speech, and you'll see the Speaker of the House and the Vice President sitting behind him. That particular room is on even the network news almost every night. You'll see someone giving a speech in that room, and that very famous room where the President speaks. The next time you see someone, the next time you see that room on television, and you'll see it all the time on C-SPAN, when the cameras pull away from the speaker's podium, look at the two symbols on each side of the speaker's podium. It is at least, I would estimate, 10 to 12 feet high on both sides of the podium are something called a fasces, which is a bundle of sticks with a hatchet head at the top, and it was on both sides of the speaker's podium. The fasces, or the bundle of sticks with a hatchet head, is the symbol for world fascism. And it has been there ever since 1933, when the fascists took over America. And that is in the year 1933 when those symbols went up onto the wall. And it's a fascinating subject. And I have pointed this out to politicians and clergy, and showed them in the reference work, this is a fasci. It represents fascism. And I was told, well, no, it doesn't mean that now. That's what it meant a long time ago, but it doesn't mean that now.
Right.
And exactly. And I'm saying, oh, well, then the symbols have changed then. Oh, yeah, it doesn't mean that. And I said, all right, suppose I were to walk into a synagogue with a swastika on my arm and try and tell the people that it really doesn't mean that. I'm using it for a different reason. No, symbols are very important. They mean things. And that those fascist symbols on each side of the presidential podium are very indicative of what's going on in our country. These are fascist symbols.
And they were placed there in 1933.
Isn't that interesting? And that's the year that's the year that symbol on the back of the dollar bill came into being also. 1933 is when the pyramid with the all-seeing eye and all of that, and it's a fascinating subject. And I don't know if you've seen my video where I show on the front of the $1 bill the little owl up in the right hand part.
Yes, most people aren't familiar with that. Give us a detailed description real quick.
Well, up on the right-hand top right-hand of the $1 bill on the face side, on the top right, the letter 1, there's a little half circle that encircles the letter 1. And in that little half circle, you'll have to get a magnifying glass. You'll see a little owl sitting there. And the owl is put there to symbolize the Bohemian society's philosophy. And the Bohemian Society is a very powerful society that meets once a year in America in the Northern California on the Russian River. And it's all of the power elites. And the owl is said to represent wisdom because it can see things in the dark. Which
I'm looking at it right now with a magnifying glass, and there it is.
Yep, it's right there. And then, of course, on the back of the dollar bill is where it really gets interesting. Are you aware that on the back of the dollar bill, on the right-hand side, is what we call the Great Seal of the United States, and you'll see the eagle. Now, a lot of people are most people are very proud of the American eagle, until you find out that the eagle was the symbol of the sun in Babylon, in the Babylonian, Sumerian, Akkadian, I'm trying to think of the Phoenician, Canaanite, Assyrian, all of those ancient cultures used the eagle as a symbol for the sun, which that isn't very important until you understand the implications of the sun in political and religious symbolism, because the sun represents the great illuminator. And this is, of course, the basis for the word Illuminati.
How it all ties together.
It all ties together once you understand what you're looking at. For many will look with their eyes and not see.
Yep.
And then when you see in the above the eagle, you will see the 13 stars, which represent the 13 colonies. And but most people don't realize that 13 is believed to be an unlucky number in America. Why are there 13 stars? Well, many people will say, well, it's because of the 13 colonies. Not exactly. The next question you have to ask is, why were there 13 colonies? Why couldn't you have had one big colony or 27 little ones?
Mm-hmm.
13 was an important number to the founding fathers. And the reason why it was considered to be unlucky is because it was a very powerful spiritual number and not to be used by us common people.
Oh, boy.
And it was basically the concept was of the Messiah with his chosen 12. The Messiah with the 12 made 13.
Mm-hmm.
And on the basis of this numerology, the new country or the new constellation was founded. And then we get into the...
How about the feathers of the eagle? Is it not correct? On the left there are 32.
And on the right there's 33. And those are the degrees of Freemasonry. And then, of course, the eagle is holding in one side of the talons. On one side is the...
arrows.
The arrows. There are 13 arrows.
Yeah.
And then on the other side are the 13 leaves.
Yeah.
And there are 13 berries in the 13 leaves.
Yeah, there are.
And then on the pyramid side, which is the left-hand side of the back of the dollar bill,
that's the most fascinating.
Yeah, that
that's not even American.
That is a very old ancient symbol, and it was originally in the way it is pictured on the back of the dollar bill, originally found in Germany back in the 1700s before America was founded. So that's not new with us.
I love what it says around it. Anuit
Coeptus
Nordo Ordo Seclorum.
Right.
Translate.
Anuit Coeptus can be translated different ways.
Oh.
Basically, it's saying our enterprise is now a success, or our project, or our movement has been crowned with success. Anuit Coeptus. Our enterprise is now a success.
Gosh, you know what? I thought it was just an ad for the Luxor Resort.
Yeah, well, you better check the Luxor Hotel while you're at it, because there's a lot there, too.
You better believe it. I don't know how many people might be aware of this. I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's my understanding that George Herbert Walker Bush made two visits out here to the Luxor shortly before it opened, and they were both unannounced.
Oh,
which
well, that's interesting.
Very, very interesting. Jordan, we've got to do a quick timeout. I don't mean to take up so much time. We've got some very patient people waiting with questions or comments. We'll get to those when we come back. If you joined us late, our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell. Our numbers, if you've got a question or a comment in Las Vegas, it's 262-KVEG, 5834. Everywhere else from Canada to Mexico, you can reach us toll-free at 1-800-265-9644. And we'll be back with Jordan right after this. All right, and again, we're back. One real quick question before we go to the phones, if I may, Jordan.
Okay.
Knowing all of this, and we've only scratched the surface, if we've even achieved that much, how do you feel just knowing it?
Well, I have to tell you, for because I've been dealing with this since, as I said, 59. So we're talking about, what, 36 years
yeah.
or so?
Yeah.
It has taken a toll on me emotionally, on my family. And I'll tell you, it has affected me knowing and seeing these things happening and realizing that there's not much I can do but to try and educate people to awaken, to find out that there are things like this which are happening. I mean, I'm just appalled at how much the American people have been lulled asleep by entertainment and not realizing the implications of the things which they see in front of them. And that's why I think that scripture is so very potent, that has Jesus saying that many will look with their eyes and not see, and will listen with their ears but not hear, and with their heart not get the sense of it.
Yeah.
So that that is exactly what has happened to our country. Our people are not seeing the things which are right in front of them, and even that they do, they are not aware of the implications of these symbols and terms. And we're led down the garden path in entertainment, movies like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
And Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
That's some very powerful stuff there. What are you talking about, the Last Crusade? And then we're talking about the Cup of the Grail or the Cup of Christ. How come in the Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Last Crusade, Adolf Hitler is in the story? And how come in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, when he confronts the Nazis looking for the Lost Ark, you will find a French occultist, a Frenchman, leading the Nazis in the hunt for the Lost Ark? Why was the Frenchman leading the Nazis? And what does that have to do with French Freemasonry, a Grand Orient Temple Freemasonry, which was the brains behind all of this kind of occultism that we're involved in today in our country? And this Last Crusade, what was the crusade for? For the cup of the Grail, a cup of Christ. What we're talking about here is some very powerful symbols and emblems.
Now, I understand, and people, I'm sure, want to hear you more often, and as much as I'd like to have you as a regular guest, you are doing your own show, or you are about to?
Well, I'm about to do it. I've done the show twice now on Wednesday night, and I'm not even sure. I was a guest twice, and I got such a great response. I got like 300 phone calls by the following morning.
Wow.
So and then I went on the second time last week, and I got a little over 200. So in 500 phone calls in the first two programs I did, so I now know that
okay.
there's people out there.
And let's see if anybody's listening. Do you want to give a phone number?
Yes, I'd love to, because I really want to have anyone call who would like to have any information, and I will get some brochures out to you and get some information to you.
What's the number?
800-551-5328.
Okay, we've stretched this band about as far as we can. We've got to let our listeners get involved. If you're ready, what do you say we see what's on Leon's mind?
Okay.
Leon, go ahead. Thanks for waiting.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes.
Just real quick, I'd like to know if Mr. Maxwell could decipher a symbol for me.
Well, I'm not the world's foremost authority, but I've seen plenty, so...
Okay, what this is it's a black circle with a scroll at the bottom of it with the letters B-B-I-Q-V-E in it, and there's a horse on it, and a naked man on the back of the horse with one hand pulling the reins back and the other hand up in the air, up and away from him, that's holding his thumb straight out, and it looks like the two outside fingers out.
Where did you see this?
This is
on the cover of Foreign Affairs magazine.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Oh, okay. Now, that's the one that is on the Foreign Affairs magazine?
Yeah.
Well, that's the Council on Foreign Relations. That's a takeoff on the British, Fabian Society. And it's the CFR is connected to the British Institute for Foreign Affairs, or the Fabian Society, Fabian Socialist Movement in England. And I'm sure that if I recall that is somehow connected to the British Fabian Society. But that round black circle is a very important because that represents Saturn, the old planet Saturn, and that's a fascinating study when you get into the black circle. sun, which goes back to the Nazis using the round black circle for the Black Sun organization, or the SS Gestapo used the round black sun, which with the round black sun was actually the sun being the planet Saturn. And that's a long story, but...
How do you spell that name?
Yeah, that's a whole story that one day I really want to get
into. Saturn was the planet?
Saturn, S-A-T-U-R-N.
Oh, Saturn, no, I'm sorry.
Okay, we're going to have to move along.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Leon. Let's see what's on Debbie's mind. Good evening.
Yes, I can't hear very well on this phone, so I'll just make my quick comment. Last week, this guy, Ed Decker, I just got his newsletter today.
Yes.
He received a news clip article in the January 7th Des Moines Sunday Register, and it was headlined, "Nightmare Drags On for Family from Cedar Rapids." This lengthy report describes how Masons and the FBI stormed the home of a man just a few hours after he was buried. The shocked and frightened family described it as though the Gestapo had arrived. They confiscated most of his belongings, citing a charge settled 25 years ago that he had secret Masonic books belonging to the lodge. Now I'll get off the phone and you can comment.
Okay, thanks, Debbie. Any comments on that at all, then, Jordan?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I came across something myself in an old Masonic book I found at an old bookstore. There was some paper, there was some newspaper clippings from the 1944-45 newspaper clippings that said that the United States Army, when they went into Berlin, one of the major Nazi headquarters had an enormous, they said it was an enormous stash of Masonic documents documenting all of the Masonic activity in Nazi Germany and throughout the rest of the world in behalf of the Nazi movement. And that the United States Army, this and I have a copy of this, I will be most happy to send you a photocopy of it, that says the United States Army immediately sealed off that whole building and turned it over to the German Masonic orders.
Wow.
The German Freemasons were given that and was protected by the United States Army. Did not want anyone to see the German Nazi Masonic documents that was, they said, just enormous boxes and boxes of those documents. But I'm wondering, why would the United States Army, upon finding Nazi documents connecting and, you know, of all the Masonic documents, and turn around and protect that and turn it over to the German authorities so that they could protect it and keep it out of the eye of the Americans?
There's a number of questions in that same area. I've often asked, why were we not allowed to bomb IG Farben? They were supplying all of the petrochemicals and poisons to Adolf Hitler, but we couldn't touch them.
That's
today,
right.
They are the largest, probably single corporation, I think, in the world. They just recently split into three different companies.
Yes, I think IG Farben is, in fact, or was at one time, the largest single corporation in the world.
They're the ones that make all those wonderful prescriptions
that
poison everybody. Isn't
that's
that
right.
Marvelous?
We bring good things to life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like the Nazi Party.
All right, let's see what Sam has to say. Good evening.
Yeah, hell of a good show. Lou, I wanted to ask Jordan about this. Doc Marquis, have you heard of this gentleman?
Yes, I have. What do you know concerning?
Well, we've had him on the program now twice, and he'd like to come back. He'd like to come into the city, actually, and do a 5-day seminar, but that'll happen somewhere down the road if it does.
Doc Marquis has kind of incorporated a lot of your thinking, Jordan, in terms of numerology and how these thugs and goons of the Masonic religion, what they have planned for us in terms of dates, like June, coming up now, June 96 is going to be 666.
Oh, yeah.
And he says that this is going to be the start of the application of the New World Order. What's your feeling about that? And I have a couple more questions.
Well, let's hold on to one, and we'll get back with others because we've got a lot of people trying to get through, Sam.
Well, let me say this, that numerology, the manipulation of numbers and dates, numerology is of profound importance to the secret societies. The mere fact that this country was founded in 1776 is a classic example, because in Middle Eastern numerology and has been accepted all over the world that 8 is a number of new beginnings. 8 is the symbol or the number for beginning something anew. Like we have 7 days in the week and the 8th day begins the new week. 8 is the number because it's the symbol of infinity. It continues. You know, if you're drawing it on a paper, you will never lift your pen because the 8 is a continual beginning again. And then 76 is, if you put 17, which is 1 and 7, is the 8, and then 76 is 7 and 6 is 13. The new beginning is based on the 13. 1776.
Wow.
The mere fact that it was a Masonic movement that that brought about what we call America.
Yeah, but how
many
could they,
of these symbols and terms?
How could they pick that date?
It's an incredible story, and this is not reaching, far reaching. I've got documents showing how these things are figured out. One of the best books on the subject, from a very establishment point of view, was the book called Fire in the Minds of Men. It's like a 700-page book called Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington. And James Billington was the lead man or the president of the Rhodes Scholarship Foundation in England.
Uh-huh.
And he goes into all of the profound significance of numerology, numbers, dates, and how things are set up to happen on certain dates, like our last great riot here in Los Angeles a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
was on May 1st, the night of May 1st at midnight, 12:01. The riot began on May 1, May 1st, which is May Day.
Yep.
And you remember in the old movies, the war movies, when the plane
Mayday,
was going
Mayday,
down or whatever.
Problem, you
emergency.
Bet.
Yeah, it was called
yeah.
a May Day.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to, Jordan. We've got to do a quick timeout.
All right.
Okay, again, if you joined us later, our guest tonight, Jordan Maxwell. And if you want to get involved in the program, the numbers are easy. If you're in Vegas, it's 262-KVEG, 5834. Anywhere else, it's toll-free. That's anywhere from Canada to Mexico. 1-800-265-9644. We'll do this break, and we'll be right back. All right, and before we go back to the phone, I want to give Jordan Maxwell's phone number out again. If you've got questions, you have want information, you can reach Jordan toll-free, 1-800-551-5328. Make a note. All right, Jordan, you ready? We'll go back and take some more calls.
Yes, and one other thing.
What's that?
It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week answering service, so give them a call anytime, day or night, no matter when, and they'll give you all the information and take your name and number, and I will get back to you. But do leave your name and address so that I can send you something in the mail. Because, and like I said, call it any time you wish.
Okay. Let's see what's on Dick's mind.
Good evening.
Yes.
Yes, Jordan, I have a tape with you on it. And also, you said the same thing on Lou's show. And you said you were going to send him a picture of, I think it was two presidents at the Bohemia Club wearing the cone hats.
Yeah.
And last time I checked with Lou, you hadn't sent him that picture.
Okay, now let me explain that. First of all, there's more than two presidents. It was all of the American presidents living. All the living presidents were in that particular picture. The picture appeared in a magazine called Elm Magazine back in 1984. And I have that particular color picture in one of my videos, but my office was burglarized, and everything I had was taken, and so consequently I don't have the picture now to give to anyone. I could make photocopies of it in color, but the only way you're going to see it now is in a video which I made called the Matrix of Power, but that's not even being reproduced anymore, I don't think. So I'm sorry, but I don't have the picture anymore. I'm trying to find it, and I wrote to the company. They don't have copies of it. But the picture showed all of the American presidents living in 1984, standing on a platform in the groves, in the Bohemian Grove, with a bonfire burning in the pit, and behind it was the owl. And it gave the names of the presidents, and they were all standing there in capes. That was somewhat similar to, not Ku Klux Klan, but somewhat similar to priest capes. And I just thought that was very interesting that all the American presidents on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, were all represented there.
Also, Jordan,
real quick now, Dick.
You mentioned in one of Lou's shows that Christ was the cornerstone, and it sounded like you were saying of Masonry or the occult.
Yeah, now what I was referring to then was that scripture. There are two of them. One in the book of Revelation, where Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. And once in the, let me go back, even in the Old Testament first, in the book of Psalms, I think it's Psalms 118, 118 something, in Psalms, the Messiah is referred to as the chief cornerstone the builders rejected. Then twice in the New Testament, Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone that the builders rejected. And what I was saying is that I have at least, I think, seven now major research works on that particular scripture, on those particular scriptures dealing with the Messiah being the chief cornerstone. And what I was saying is that that word in Greek and Hebrew meant the same thing. A chief cornerstone is a triangle which sits up atop of a pyramid. That's what the word in Greek meant. Chief cornerstone is a triangle which sits atop the pyramid.
Okay.
And so that's what I was saying, and that's that opens up a whole new study of the Greek words and the Hebrew words. But there is an understanding to it. There is an answer to it.
Okay.
We just don't have time to go into it tonight.
Unfortunately. Tonight, for sure, I'd like to have another couple of hours, but we don't. We're running real close to time. I was going to say, let's see if we can get one more quick call in. What do you say? Bill, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, you got about a minute.
Okay. I was curious as to whether or not your guest could verify one thing for me. Number one is the Pentagon fashioned, the floor plan fashioned after the First Church of Satan. And number two, I would like to know if you could tell me anything about the Egyptian sun god, Ra.
Okay, and take it off the air, and thank you so much.
Thanks.
And if you can do it in 30 seconds, I'd be very appreciative. That's not fair.
Right. Well, I'm going to pass up the first because I'm not sure that that's true, that the First Church of Satan matches anything in Washington. It wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Yeah.
But the sun god Ra is a whole different subject. I'm writing a book on that subject. And of course, Ra was the symbol of the sun. And Freemasonry, ancient cults of Freemasonry, are referred to in the reference books as the great sun orders, of Freemasonry. So the sun has always played a very important part in occultism throughout the world. And we really need to do a couple of videos on that, because just talking about it is not as, you know, not as good as actually seeing these things.
Yeah. Okay, we got to do that one last time out. Stay with us, everyone. Our guest this evening, Jordan Maxwell, Lou Epton here. We'll all be back right now. Hear this. All right, and again, we're back. And, Jordan, we've got just under 2 minutes left. I'm going to give 1.5 minutes to you.
Okay. I would like to expound a little bit on what we were talking about, that chief cornerstone. If anyone's interested, I will be happy to make you photocopies of the documents which I have dealing with those words. These documents came from Christian seminaries. They are doctoral theses. Some are from Jerusalem, some are from England, some are from here. These are all reference works dealing with the word and dealing with the subject of the chief cornerstone and the messianic symbol of the chief cornerstone being a triangle which sits on top of a pyramid. I want your audience to understand that I don't write this stuff. I am merely the researcher, and I can provide you with all the reference. Now, what is the implications of this? What does it mean? I am telling you that to understand Christianity and the position that Christianity occupies in the world today, you need to do your homework and awaken to the fact that there is something very momentous going on in the world. Christianity is a very much a part of this, and Christians need to awaken to the fact that there's so much that they have not been told and they do not know and do not understand. And I am one of the firm belief that the churches have not allowed the people to know the things what the ministers know. They have not been told.
And they can get this information by calling you toll-free at 1-800-551-5461. 5328. Jordan Maxwell, thank you so very much.
Thank you very much.
I wish we had a lot more time, but unfortunately we don't. I also want to thank everybody out there for being with us tonight. I want to say have as good of a day as you can. Try and join us again tomorrow night. We'll be here same time, same place with Bernadine Smith. See you then. For a recording.